All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday in the big city. Lots of things going on, but nothing bigger than the fact that we have another special guest. As you know, it is co-host week on The Usual Suspects, as Barry is in L.A. doing a comedy festival, having a good old time. If you want to follow him, his Twitter account and his Instagram have been showing some of the upkeep on what's been going on and the updates of what's going on in Hollywood. But in the meantime, I get to bring in a good friend of mine that I've been wanting to do this for a long time with. You know him for KPRC Channel 2, Randy McAvoy.
Good to be here, man.
Good to have you.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks for asking.
Always a pleasure to have you on.
It's been a little time. The studios, I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah.
We used to do the college and high school show here. This is really nice. I like this.
Yeah. Since David Gow took over, and then with Sports Map, Culture Map, and of course ESPN, and then 94.1, lots of upgrades going on. You know, that's genuine brick. No, not really.
I got lost a little bit. I didn't know which way to turn when I got off the elevator, but fortunately, you were opening the door, and
I was a gracious
host. You guided
host.
The way here.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, we used to have a little corner of the world. Now we've got basically the whole floor, so people, it's easy to get lost around here. Nick does it on a daily basis, depending on if he went out last night and drank it all.
But I didn't do any drinking last night, so we're good.
Oh, so we're safe.
So he's bringing his A game today. He's
got that's right. So good to have you on board. We've got lots to get to. Of course, Texans and Rockets and Astros and stuff. But a lot of other things, too, because we've got a very passionate fan base. We call them the suspects for a reason because they're usual. They come in on a daily basis and they've got questions. But I think one of the interesting sides of things is just to get to know you a little better, too, because in the first couple segments, we just kind of kick it around. But you've been in this market a long time. You and I go back to your days when you were you were up in Dallas for Fox Sports.
Right, Fox Southwest.
Right.
I was there from 98 to 04, so I was there about 7 years.
Yep.
We did a lot of the Texans when they actually the franchise began.
Right.
I did one of the Texan shows, as a matter of fact. It was weird from day one. No, I enjoyed it up there, but I've been back, this starting my 15th year now, back here at KPRC Channel 2.
15 years at KPRC.
From Houston. So
you're a Bearcat, right?
I am.
See?
And a Bel Air Cardinal.
Oh, so Bel Air.
Got a little shout out there.
Nick's familiar with the Bel Air area, for sure.
Yeah, I worked there for a long time.
Yeah,
I worked right down the street from Bel Air High School for forever. So,
all right.
His dad had a shop there.
Nice.
You and Craig Ackerman are Craig Ackerman, I always say, went to five different universities, so it doesn't really count, but he claims the Bearcats.
He does represent the Bearcats.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So you got the Bearcats, and then from there, before you got to Fox, where did you go?
I was I got out of Sam Houston State in 89, and those last couple of years of college, I was over at Channel 13 as a weekend producer for Tim Melton.
Okay.
So able to get a lot of experience there. But then I graduated, got on air, and I started in the Beaumont market.
Oh.
So I was there about 7 years.
Well, we're big in the Golden Triangle, so the Beaumont folks will be fired up about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, shout out to everybody in the Golden Triangle there. I think seven years there, something like that, and you know what? A lot of friends still there, and it's been a lot of fun covering different things. Local high schools, Lamar University there, and, of course, everything here in town.
Yeah, I want to get to that, too, because I love the high school aspect you bring to the table with the show every Friday night and the things that you guys do over there. And there's no better place to do it simply because of the fact that the hotbed of high school talent that is here in the Houston area, that's something that we'll touch on because of the fact that people are so passionate about football. And you know, it's not just Texans in college. The high school scene is huge, as you guys know and realize, and do a great job with that show.
We're about to start. We're preparing for another year here. I think it'll be year 13, I believe, for the Frenzy. I tell you, what I enjoy about it, and I love high school sports and always have, and even though we've got other major things to cover here in Houston, we never let up on our high school coverage. We think it starts there, and you can build a good audience there. But the Friday night show I enjoy because I get to be on location. I'm not stuck in a studio. And we've done that since day one when we launched the show. We wanted to make it a little different. They said, well, let's just have you at a location for a game of the week. So it makes for some logistical challenges, but we all, you know, now it's just, it's an, I wouldn't say it's an easy show to turn, but everybody kind of knows what's needed to make it happen. With me on location, kind of on that island, and then you got, I've got Laney and I got Wex back in studio, so we all make it happen. We got crews all over town, so somehow it comes together.
Yeah, Nick's a big fan of your staff. He says they're the hardest working because Nick covers pretty much every game all the time, most practices. So he is a fan.
I knew he was going to say that.
I'm just saying because you and Wex know each other for a while, so you appreciate the work ethic there. And of course, Wex is like. He's like the bullpen extraordinaire. He fills in on every sports radio station. You have to get in here because he's taking up all these spots.
The man does not. I'm convinced he does not sleep.
I think you're right.
I mean, maybe for 30 minutes or something, but he's back up. He usually has the laptop up. He knows
statistical
every
genius.
Batting average yep. and OBS, everything like that. You name it, that Wexford's going to know what the answer is.
For as much love as you have for him, for that work ethic, for what he does for you guys, his wife's got to hate him. Because, I mean, he's got a family. He's got kids, and how can he be home?
He comes home, they said, who are you?
Exactly. UPS guy again? We didn't order anything. Amazon? Come on, we don't need that.
Well, he's a guy, you know, and Laney's coming along, too. She's been in the market about to go on 3 years now, so she's starting to get a grasp of things, and you know, relationships built, but Wex has been around a while. He's somebody definitely I lean on, and
yeah,
we make it happen during the busy seasons.
Well, and you guys have me on a lot during the basketball season and otherwise, and Sports I appreciate Sunday. Doing Sports Sunday. So absolutely. That's fun, and I wanted to return the favor as well there because you and I play golf. We love golf. Mm-hmm. I know that.
I think you're a lot better than I am, but
I haven't played in 2 years.
Oh, maybe we need to play.
Yeah, we need to play since Taylor was born. Everything changed for me.
Yeah, I got to see where you are.
Yeah, and you are on the flip side. You got the daughters that are already out and about.
Yeah, I've got one out of A&M, married, lives in Dallas. I've got another one, sophomore. She's about to. We're moving her back to Baylor for sophomore year Friday.
Wow.
So a little bit different, yeah.
But, it's hard for a 29-year-old to do all that.
It's amazing, isn't it?
People have no idea, and I'm not giving up your age because everybody knows around here I'm kind of sensitive to giving up the numbers on my age.
Yeah.
But Randy doesn't look a day over like 30, and he's got daughters that old. That's amazing. That's a big bonus in television.
Yeah.
Now, how many
makes you last a little longer?
How many tutorials do you follow of Dominique's in terms of your makeup and your hair?
I've got to follow it every day. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, you watch it, right?
I probably need to get involved in that. No, I don't. I mean, it's kind of awkward if the wife from Channel 11 would get involved and catch me watching a video.
That's
of
true. That is true.
Yeah, the anchor on Channel.
I'm sure. I mean, she's got like a million followers. It seems like on this YouTube channel.
Crazy.
So. She knows what she's
doing.
And
she's been here a long time.
Yeah.
You guys, that's the neat thing about you guys over there. You guys, a lot of you have backgrounds of being here for the majority of your lives.
Right. You got Dominique, who's been there over 20 years.
Right. She started on radio.
Going on 25, I think. Started on radio.
Right.
And, you know, she's Memorial High School girl.
Right.
She got out the same year I did in high school. We didn't know each other. I was at Bel Air, but. And then Bias has been there forever, like 40 years.
Frank.
Billingsley's been there for a long time. So it's good. Great team. We enjoy working together.
That's awesome. Yeah, I enjoy watching what you guys do. So that's a lot of fun. So Randy's going to be here. Just wanted to give you a little background on him because the fact that he has some deep roots here, much like Nick, unlike myself. But we're all happy to have you aboard. And there's plenty to talk about today. Astros are back on the field. Texans just got done with practice. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Rockets move that finally happened. You had some great audio that we'll get to catching up with Mike D'Antoni because that's an interesting aspect to this whole thing that I've been harping on for quite a while.
I think that's a big story. Is going to be that relationship. I think it's two things, that relationship and then whatever his role is going to be, starter or off the bench. I think it's still an unknown.
I think you're right. And I think that, you know, we mentioned it yesterday on the show. One of the big things that I said was when Woj came out and said he's willing to take a bench role. And then suddenly within about an hour, there was almost a retraction that said, well, let's go back to saying he's open to see the possibilities. And D'Antoni said, that to me is the red flag that said someone from Melo's camp went, no, that's not what we said.
Right. I think Mike D'Antoni and Morey, for that matter, they wouldn't have gotten this deal done unless they're convinced. But that said, they're going into camp. Trust me when I say D'Antoni's going to be watching for signals whether this guy's buying in or not. And if he doesn't,
what I said.
They could trade him somewhere else. If he's not going to be a fit, it's going to hurt the team. D'Antoni won't tolerate it.
And Nick knows this. I've been harping on this since before when this deal was, before it was even rumored, saying if D'Antoni literally quit during the season when he was coaching the Knicks because he said he just couldn't coach Carmelo anymore, you can't tell me that isn't an issue going forward until they kind of find that common ground. And we all know it's a roller coaster of a season. These things are going to go good. They're going to go bad. And how are they going to handle it before it gets ugly? That's something we can talk about as well. So good to have Randy on board filling in for Barry. Again, Barry's in California all week. Tomorrow, Lance Zierlein. Thursday, Raheel. And then Friday, the comedian that Nick and I go back and forth on, is it Jerry Rocha or Jerry Rocha? But either way, he's a funny guy. He'll join us on Friday. So the suspects are all lined up. Hopefully you are too. Fasten your seatbelts and away we go. If you want to join us on the show, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text, you can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And Randy's Twitter is
KPRC2. Randy McAvoy.
There you go. Find us all, and we'll get, at least two of us are good about checking our Twitter during the show. Randy, you're going to have to catch up. We'll be back with more. It's just segment number one. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You know, nothing is ever predetermined. And so we'll have ideas, but we'll go into camp just trying to look at it and trying to make it the best we can.
You've had a chance to coach him. You've coached against him for many years. And I know he's been around a while. His game may not be what it was 5, 10 years ago. But what does he bring to the table when he's at his best?
Well, I mean, he's one of the best scorers the league's ever had. And we expect more of the same. And, you know, sure, Father Time catches up there by a little bit. But I think he's got a lot that he wants to prove, and he's only 34, so it's we expect a lot out of him. But he just brings a lot of talent, and we're going to try to fit that in and with the other talent, the guys we got, and it's just one more piece of a really good team.
That is Coach Mike D'Antoni, who sat down one-on-one with my co-host today, Randy McAvoy, and pretty candid, good stuff. You and I were talking about it before the break. The big thing with me is the fact that these guys have a previous. They have a relationship. And D'Antoni walked and just said, you can have the rest of my contract, however you want to do this. I can't do this anymore. I can't coach this guy. So that's a track record that says to me, regardless if this is a new situation, and I take a lot of heat for this from, I say that there's a lot of listeners out there that are Rockets fans that have drank that red Kool-Aid so long that you can't say a single thing about being honest about this team. I think he helps them offensively. He can. But I think they don't need any more help offensively. But the keys, and you and I were talking about in the break, are what we keep talking about here, which is he's got to play defense. And he's got to, whether it's the bench or not, he has to accept a lesser role simply because you have a backcourt that is one of the best in the league with Harden and Paul.
He's got to push the ego aside. I mean, he's turning 34.
Because he and Chris Paul are around 34.
I think he's 34, right? So this will be his 16th year. I mean, he's got to come here, in my opinion, knowing, you know, he's on the tail end of his career. He's got a chance to maybe do something special, get something that he hasn't been able to accomplish, and push the ego aside and play the role that they need him to play. He's coming onto a team, as you mentioned, that's got talent. You got offensive firepower. You got some good defensive players. He's got to say, okay, I'm cool with that. I know I've had my run in the NBA over all these years. I'm coming off a down year. You've seen his numbers.
Yeah, it was awful.
Worst year he's had, yep. I think, in his NBA career, minutes-wise, I believe, and points-wise. Hey, put me where you need me. I want to be a team-first guy, and I'll be happy. He's got to show that from day one.
Now, you touch on that team-first mentality. That's exactly what I harp on, which is something that I've never seen from him before because of the fact that when you look at it, he won the title at Syracuse. He was the man in Denver. He was the man in New York.
Right.
He was always the man. When he came to OKC, the biggest problem was Russell's the man, and oh, by the way, Paul George is the second fiddle. So he had a really hard time accepting that role, and then in his exit interview, he came flat out and said, no, I'm not ready to take a role on the bench. And that tells me you're not ready to win. You just are still worried about you. So this isn't just going to be a little turn of a dial kind of an adjustment. This is a massive change for a guy that's never been in the position that he's in now. So if he really does want to win, he's got a lot to prove to not only the fan base and his teammates, but to his head coach.
Dude, Mike D'Antoni's got to be a believer. That's what I mentioned from day one at camp. And I mean, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forgot when it was. I was actually out in West Virginia with the Texans when I saw a quote from Carmelo. In so many words, he was like, yeah, you know, I might be okay with – he kind of led you to believe like he wasn't 100%. So, to me, the red flag went up then, like, okay, is this guy really going to be on board? What are the Rockets doing? Have they done their due diligence and just making sure in their meetings with Carmelo that he's going to buy in here? I think because he's tight with Chris Paul, he knows what he's getting into. And I actually think it will work out. Now, whether he gives you numbers and stuff, we'll see what happens there. But as far as attitude, pushing the ego aside, I actually think it's going to work out. I think he knows what he's getting into, and he's got Chris Paul right there that's going to hold him accountable.
And I mentioned this, not only Chris Paul, but James Harden. These three guys have worked together in the offseason in L.A. for the last couple of years. So there is definitely that kind of chemistry already because they play a lot of pickup games, and all the videos you see, they're almost always on the same team. Mm-hmm. And I think – You have a tendency to forget about Harden working out with him in the offseason because Harden doesn't have that floor general mentality. But Paul does. He's the coach on the floor. I say to everybody, the reason why that it works so well with those two guys was quite honestly because he missed 14 of the first 15 games, but he sat right next to the coaching staff, and he's such a student of the game. He knows this is where I can help. This is where they need me. This is where I can help James. And then he just fit in almost seamlessly. I think that will help guide Carmelo, but at the end of the day, it's going to be on his shoulders and his shoulders alone, because you also, the thing he got going against you is, you remember when they were courting this guy, Daryl was out there yesterday retweeting some of the cartoonist images they had of him.
Yeah.
Then they rented a house in River Oaks. They brought in the owner and the chef from the Breakfast Club. They made Carmelo feel like it was his world. They were just living in it. And now, yeah, they still wanted him, but now it's a totally different scenario. You're not being brought in to be the man with Dwight Howard and James Harden. You're being brought in to be maybe the third fiddle, depending on Eric Gordon,
right,
and blend in.
And if there's injuries, obviously the role would heighten there for Carmelo. But, yeah, you're right. He's not on this particular, the makeup of this roster. If I'm D'Antoni or Morris, like, we don't need you to be a superstar. We need you to be consistent.
Right.
We need to get those numbers up. And as D'Antoni told me, my interview was on a phone conversation we had yesterday. He said, you know, we have high expectations. And he said, Father Time catches up to you. We know that. He's 34. He's not the same player that he was 5 years ago. But he still can contribute. And if his mind's right, you know, that's step number one. And then he's got to knock those shots down a little more often. But he was held to, what, 16 points a game this past year?
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. We watched what happened with Ryan Anderson, and everybody looks at just that $20 million a year, and they're very critical of that. And obviously, it's fair game because that's a lot of money for a guy that was the ultimate stretch four for this team, and it hasn't worked out that way. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that you can say is, regardless of whether they move Ryan or not, you now have a guy that's not going to be afraid to take the big shot. When Ryan started missing shots, and Nick, you know this better than anybody too because you covered every game, the fact of the matter is that Ryan Anderson, it was a hot potato when he wasn't making shots, or when he was going to take the shot, it wasn't that same set your feet, square your shoulders, keep that elbow in. It was get it off as quick as possible, and his shooting percentage continued on the decline. Melo, you're not going to have that problem with.
Yeah, that was my biggest issue with Ryan Anderson, is the second that his confidence went away, he would pass up open shots, and he would always take the ones that weren't as open, and he always pass up open shots. So that's why I always felt like his shooting percentage from behind 3-point line was deceiving. You'd always see it in the low 30s, which is about average, but that's because he when he knows he's missing, he's not going to take shots anymore, and he's going to pass it up. So
yeah, he kind of gave it away when he was really struggling. You guys saw him out on the floor. The body language was definitely there for Ryan Anderson.
No question.
You could see a player that was not confident. He gave it away, and he just gave it the basketball too quick.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, the mentality of Carmelo is always going to be he is a natural-born scorer. So he's going to look at shots. But the thing that on the flip side that bothers me is when I watched Oklahoma City, and Nick and I have talked about this, I watched OKC games where if he was on the bench cold and he hadn't been on the floor for a while, and then they brought him back in, even if there was 3 minutes to go on the clock, a 2-point game, he was 37 feet out, and he was pulling the trigger ice cold,
no,
and
hesitation.
It wasn't even close, with no hesitation. Yeah. And the looks he got from other guys on his team, especially a guy as demonstrative as Westbrook, was like, that's not what we need. But again, that's when the priorities change. That's what worries me the most.
It's a whole mindset deal when you're used to being the guy as long as he has been dating, going back to the college days. It's not going to happen overnight, but he's got to show the attitude from day one at camp that, hey, I'm going to work on it by season start. I'm going to know to give the ball up when I need to. I know who the stars are on this team.
Interesting question I've got for you guys coming back, because the other thing is, as we all know, and thankfully maybe because of some of the things we touched on, they don't have to pay a whole lot of money to get him this year. It's a one-year deal. It's $2.4 million. But say, let me just say that I'm not saying this. Let me just say hypothetically, someone says that maybe at the end of the day, this thing goes south. How readily and willing will the Rockets franchise be to be able to say, hey, we tried, it didn't work out, and we'll either trade him or let him go because it's only $2.4 million. We'll get to that after the break. You guys can get in on this as well. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text. Hit us on Twitter. It's at KPRC2, Randy McAvoy, as well as Pac-Man Joel and the producer, Nick. Having some fun on The Usual Suspects. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man, but Barry has got a plan this week to be in L.A. to do a little comedy. So Nick's here, I'm here, and Randy McAvoy has been generous enough with his time to join us before he heads over to KPRC2 to do some TV tonight. And we were talking about Melo before the break, as that is one of the big stories that finally came to fruition because, God, it wasn't a secret. And holy cow, it took a long time to get it done. But I teased this before the break, and I want both of your guys' opinions on this simply because of the fact that you guys know this team. It's not a big deal. Oklahoma City is paying, and now Atlanta is paying the majority of that $27-plus million contract. It's $2.4 million out of the Rockets' back pocket. But is that a small enough figure that if this thing isn't going as smooth as you wanted it to go, that the Rockets as an organization... Because, look, Daryl Morey has been on this guy, and I always thought it was Les Alexander-driven, because when I was there, Les was a New York guy. He loved Carmelo being a Syracuse guy. He loved Melo with the Knicks guy. He wanted Melo to be that third piece. But when Les left, sold the team to Tillman, I thought, well, that'll go away. But Daryl's steadfast approach to making sure this was the guy that they brought in, he was passionate about. Will they have that same passion? Because what the thing that I've sensed is Mike D'Antoni has earned everything that he's gotten with this job alone, simply because of the fact he took a team that couldn't play defense, top five in defense.
Right.
Took a team that couldn't get over the hump, and literally they were a hamstring away from being in the finals. Whether you agree that they win it or not, irrelevant. They would have gotten to the finals. He should not have to be in the same situation he was in New York to say, I got to quit because if it's me or him, it's going to be me anyway. But is 2.4 a lesser enough number that if you're the Rockets and it's not working out, you can just say, bye, Felicia?
Oh, I absolutely think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how serious it is. They want it to work. I mean, they wouldn't have made the move. And dating back to last year when they were flirting a little bit with Carmelo as well, D'Antoni, even then, signed off on it. He was going to be okay with it. I think he's pushed what happened in New York behind him, as ugly as it was at the time. He said he believes that Carmelo, if on board, the mental focus is there, knowing a role. If he comes in and that's all set, good to go, I think he likes Carmelo being in this mix, whether starter or off the bench. Because he told me yesterday in the interview, he said, that's still to be determined. You know, we don't predetermine spots and moves like this. It's not a lock that he's going to be a starter. And as long as that's okay, going to happen, and Carmelo can buy into that, I think he's fine with it. But $2.4 million can easily be pushed to the side if it's not working out.
Swept under the rug.
Hey.
Nick, you good
trade
with that?
Trade him. Do what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2.4 is a good number to gamble with. I don't think, you know, you try it for 1 year. If you lose $2.4 million, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And as you alluded to, the situation in New York. You know, if for whatever reason Mike D'Antoni and Carmelo Anthony can't get along, I don't imagine that Carmelo will have the same weight that in the same pull that he had in New York to a point where he could, you know, get rid of Mike D'Antoni. Traditionally speaking, you know, the coach loses in that dynamic. It's happened in Houston before with James Harden and Kevin McHale. But I don't think that's the same situation with Carmelo Anthony, and I think that number is kind of an indicator.
I think you don't wait till the end of the season. I think this team has too much talent and too much to lose if they try and endure something like this. And we've seen when you got two guys in the locker room that don't get along, that was Dwight and James. But if you get a coach-player relationship that's not working out, it's toxic. And I think that for that reason alone, if this team is serious about winning a title and taking it to that level – if it works, great. If it doesn't, pull the plug as quickly as you possibly can when you realize you've reached the point of no return.
I mean, the season starts, what, mid-October, I believe?
Yeah, earlier this year.
You're going to know if this thing's working by, what, December maybe?
Probably by Christmas.
By Christmas time, first of the year, you're going to know if this thing's going to flourish or not. If not, you... that's a perfect time to make a move if it's not working out.
Yeah, and before we wrap up the Rockets topic, I want to throw something else that I brought up both here and on SportsMap, and that is grading your personal feeling on where the Rockets are this offseason. Because we started out with these grandiose ideas of LeBron, Paul George, maybe J.J. Redick, guys that can push them over the top even further and solidify their position of catching and overtaking the Warriors. We know what the Warriors did with Boogie Cousins, but just from a Rockets perspective, Carmelo comes in, so you see what they've done in the offseason. It's Ennis, it's Michael Carter-Williams, it's Carmelo Anthony, it's re-signing Clint Capella, but losing Ariza and Mbamute. Are you pleased? Are you disappointed? And what I threw out there was, if they can find a home for Ryan Anderson, whether it's for a bowl of soup or a guy that they actually could get some use out of, like a James Johnson, Kent Bazemore, guys like that, Iman Shumpert, would that push you over the top to say it was a successful offseason? But your guys' take on where they are.
I was a big Ariza guy. I know down the stretch of the playoffs it was ugly, but I liked what he brought to this team in different areas, you know, locker room, defensively, offensively in spurts. I think they're going to miss him. And, you know, we didn't see Mbamute during the playoffs, but what he brought during the season I really liked. And when I knew we lost, that the Rockets lost him, I thought that was a big loss that they're going to probably regret a little bit. But these new additions can get it done. It's all, to me, it's like I got to see a little bit more.
Yeah.
But those two I saw enough of, I thought they were difference makers.
I mean, it's too early to tell, but they've replenished depth before. Ariza, I feel like, is a bigger loss, obviously, you know, than Luke. But no doubt, with the absence of those two players, they lose defense. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, I guess, up to Jeff Bezdelic, you know, and see if he can kind of continue the progress that he's had from last year into this upcoming season, because I guess he gets a lot of the praise for what they've been able to do on defense, you know.
What's his history? I've heard bits and pieces, Bezdelic and Carmelo. Have they always seen eye to eye?
Well, they were in Denver together.
They're in Denver, but did they have
I don't
some
know that there were
there?
Any. I don't think there was any friction like there was with D'Antoni and Melo. So I think that's almost like that's probably an extra feather in the cap of the Rockets for bringing him in. He's got a friendly face on the bench as well as on the floor, and a guy that he's known to be in his corner in the past. But the big thing is that guy's whole focus and what he was brought in to be on Mike D'Antoni's staff is defense. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I always goof around. Melo has a 25-letter alphabet, and there's no D in it, and it's never been there. So in order for him to take it to the next level for this team to get out of him what they need, he's got to play defense. Because you touched on something that I've harped on, and fans hate hearing me say this. Ariza and Mbamute, regular season-wise alone, were two-fifths of their best defenders, made them a top-five defensive team.
Right.
In my opinion, they didn't replace them. You know, Ennis is a guy that can run the floor and do things again on the offensive side. He can play some one-on-one defense on the perimeter, but he's not a great defender. Michael Carter-Williams, not a great defender. By the way, both those guys are 21% three-point shooters. So you lose from what you got from the two guys that left also were good three-point shooters. So defense is, I'm with you, Randy. Defense is where I'm really worried about this team to this point. I think that if you would get rid of Ryan Anderson and bring in any one of the three guys that are mentioned, whether it be Johnson, Bazemore, or Shumpert, you immediately get one of those guys back. Guys that can play defense. Guy, in the case of Shumpert, a guy that's been on winning teams, playoff teams, experienced, he can help you. But just to give them some flexibility, especially if this Melo thing doesn't work out, by unloading Ryan's contract too would be big to me. But you got to get someone that can defend. The defensive side of the ball is where I'm most concerned.
And another top defender would be nice. Yeah. But I agree with you. And, you know, when you look at the offseason moves, we will see if they, how they play out when camp opens and the season starts in October. But I think they're going to look back and they're going to say, man, I wish we still had a reason, Bob Mutha.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I took a lot of heat from people because I tried to illustrate what kind of a locker room presence Trevor Ariza had. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always preface this by saying, if I'm the Rockets, I don't pay him $15 million for 1 year. I just don't do it because that's too much with what they were trying to do to bring in other players. Mm-hmm. But also from Ariza's perspective, on the downside of his career, you don't walk away from an opportunity to make $15 for 1 year.
Got to take it, yeah.
You listen to what he said when he left, and he said it was time, which meant that, to me, maybe all the extra work in the locker room was taking its toll on him because I personally was there with the team in 15, and I can tell you right now, without Trevor Ariza and the work he did with players in the locker room and in team meetings, that team not only doesn't get to the Western Conference Finals, it may not even get to the playoffs.
He held a lot of guys accountable, and wasn't at least what I gathered, and I wasn't there every day, but you know, interviewed him a lot. Just you can hear the way his teammates talked about
him. They respected
him. That's all you needed to hear.
He and Jason Terry kept that team together. And so for everybody that says, oh, you know, that's a media term. That's a locker room spin, the locker room aspect of it. No, that's a valuable commodity in any professional team.
Any sport, yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. So that's something that definitely I think they're going to lose as well that needs to be replaced to some degree. Or James Harden has to step up. Because it's his team, and we all know that. But we also know that James is not the guy that likes to be that vocal leader. Like Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, right? I think, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see as well. So we'll keep tabs on the Rockets. But again, I just was curious on your guys' perspective. Is it a disappointing offseason? Is it a good offseason? If they unload Anderson, is it a good offseason for this team?
If they get something for him, finding a team that's going to take that massive salary of his, and then however the numbers work, you got to get something for him, though. Yes, they need to unload him. I'm going to say personally, a little bit of a disappointment in the offseason. I'm going to go with that because I was such a big fan of Ariza and Bob Mutha.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on record before. It's a little bit of a disappointment. I think if you know, with the addition of a Shumpert, I think it eases the pain. You know, I think that helps. You know, if they were able to do something like that and add that big defender, I think that would help with the offseason. But yeah, just a tad bit disappointed with the offseason.
I agree with you. I've said all along I was disappointed because there were names that I thought could make them better. And again, offensively, they never had a problem scoring points before, so they're not going to have a problem scoring points with the guys that they've added. They might have a problem making as many threes with the fact that Carter Williams and Ennis are 21% three-point shooters. But overall, depending on what they get back for Ryan Anderson, and to your point, Randy, about who can take him, Sacramento can take him. And they've got room to take him.
Okay.
And he's a California guy. He said he wants to finish his career in Sacramento. And the other team to keep an eye on, the team that wanted Melo. Miami didn't get him, but Miami's willing to give up Johnson and some pieces if they can get Ryan Anderson and they'll take the salary. Those are two teams to keep an eye on as we go forward.
Now that Melo's on board, Daryl Morey can start making some calls.
Yep, no doubt about it. Interesting and fun to watch and see what's going on. We're talking NBA a little earlier than usual, and that's always a good thing. But we'll talk about a whole lot more. We've got Texans. We've got the Astros back on the field tonight. Slumping as they may be with the A's in their rearview mirror, we can talk baseball as well. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. His father when he cursed, his name turned and chased.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man. Barry's on vacation doing some comedy in California. Nick and I are here. Randy McAvoy, nice enough to join us and spend some time with us. We're talking a lot about the Rockets after we did a little impromptu get-to-know-me with Randy. And you guys are a little bit passionate about the Melo thing. We've been getting some texts, getting some tweets, but also getting some calls. So without further ado, we don't have the shortest wait times in the business, Raheel, but we do our best. So X-Ray is on the line, and he seems to be very positively encouraged about what's happening with Melo. What's up, man?
Yes, indeed. I'm like, Carmelo is one of the best things that could happen to them. Getting rid of Ariza and Butte or whatever his name was, means that now we got more people who can handle the ball and move the ball. If you remember, once Chris Paul was out and James Harden was sitting, we couldn't even get the ball to move around the floor. Now we got Michael Carter-Williams who can move the ball. We got Carmelo who can move the ball. And if he starts or if he comes off the bench, it doesn't make no difference. He's consistently scoring. And he didn't have no problems with D'Antoni. That was all Phil Jackson's movement. You haven't heard D'Antoni came out and say one thing that he had a problem with Carmelo. All y'all keep is repeating what Phil Jackson put out there.
X-ray. I'm going to stop you right there. If you want to go on Google and you want to get the interview that Mike D'Antoni did, and he did several. He did several where he flat out called out and called it like he saw it. He quit because of Carmelo. He quit because he said in the article, because if it's me or him, I know I'm going to go anyway, and I can't continue to do this coaching this guy. So that's false. I'm just going to let you know that. And the other thing I'm going to say, because again, I hope it works out, and obviously he brings a lot to the table offensively, but if you look at his numbers and look what he did last year at Oklahoma City, and Randy brought it up, he did not have a stellar season. He had the worst scoring season of his career. All of his numbers were down. So whether that's the downside of his career or just a bad fit with OKC, you can't say unequivocally that his numbers and his skill sets are primed for what he's going to face when last year he had a down year.
Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, the human killer. You see what happened with Kevin Durant with Russell Westbrook? I don't see why people don't understand that. Russell Westbrook kills other players. Just as simple as that. Paul George ain't going to do nothing there. He's just getting the money. Hey, you're going to tell me you're going to judge Carmelo by being with Russell Westbrook?
X-Ray, I'll disagree with you, too. You made a statement like you said it doesn't matter whether he comes off the bench or starts. That's on Carmelo. Carmelo's got to show everybody that it doesn't matter. That's the unknown, I think, going in. And now that they've got this signing place and when camp opens, D'Antoni, his teammates, media, we're all going to be seeing how he responds to whatever his role is going to be.
I'm just saying, give the man a chance. He's consistent, and that's what Houston needs, consistent scoring. They only went up in defense, and I'm telling you, they get better the less James Harden has to touch the ball. As more they get more players who can touch the ball, their record becomes better. Because James Harden, he's damn near like a Russell Westbrook. He'll kill everybody else's mojo holding the ball too long.
I appreciate the call, X-Ray. We appreciate you stopping in, man. Look, I mean, obviously he's not a Harden fan, but he's a Melo fan. And he believes in this deal. And that remains to be seen. Like we said, we want it to work out. This is Houston. You want success in all your sports teams. It's more fun covering them than if they were the Astros of a couple of years ago losing 100 games.
I mean, it's August 14th right now. Until he steps on the floor when camp opens and the games begin, we won't know. And what he was saying is let it play out. Let's see how it turns out. Exactly. And again, it's the ball is, so to speak, in Carmelo's court. How he responds to this move, what his attitude's going to be, can he push his ego aside, can he get along with D'Antoni, teammates, gel together, to be determined.
Yeah, no question. So we covered a lot of ground on Melo. We can switch gears now. But if you guys do want to get in, we still have obviously the text message and Twitter if you do want to continue the conversation, and we can always double back. We got a lot to get to. You cover this team on a daily basis, being the Houston Astros as well. And this is a situation that I wanted to get your opinion on, because having been around this team, the thing that's amazing to me right now is the A's won again last night. They won another one-run game. They're now 24-10 in one-run games. We were talking about Seattle early in the season. Now it's Oakland with the one-run games. But on top of that, objects in your rearview mirror are a lot closer than they might appear. They're only two games back now. And the thing that's amazing to me, and again, with you covering the team on a daily basis, everyone is just looking forward to the playoffs. But they got to start being worried about the fact that you'd much rather be a division champion and have some home field
than a wild card. Yeah. There's got to be a little concern. I mean, there's a lot of buzz with what's going on right now, is why it's happening. Well, when you have your superstars on the disabled list, to me, that's the determining factor when you're missing Springer, Altuve. You got McCullers on the DL. You got Davinsky out. Who am I missing? Somebody else. Correa just got back.
Right.
You've got missing pieces. So, obviously, the offense is going to struggle. It's shown that. But, man, all of a sudden, a nice, comfortable cush lead is now down to two games. And you're about to, if you don't get your act together tonight, if you're the Astros tonight and tomorrow against a really good Rockies team, by the way.
Yep.
Who's coming in playing pretty well off of their last series. You're about to go on the road, which is going to be the most critical road trip of the season. Because you're going to Oakland, you're going to Seattle. Anaheim, they should take care of. But, man, Seattle, Oakland, you got to take care of business because those teams are playing well.
Yeah, that's the thing that really concerns me. Be careful what you wish for because, yes, the Astros are a great road team. They're obviously struggling at home, which I can't for the life of me explain.
Four games, I believe. Is it four games now? Four games over 500 at home.
Yeah. And they've lost like seven or eight games in a row at home.
Eight in a row.
So that those are problems, but be careful what you wish for because everybody's talking about how good they've been in the division against Oakland, against Seattle. These are different Oakland and Seattle teams.
Right. This is the time of the year where teams are putting it together. You got a very confident Oakland and Seattle team right now that are tough to beat. Seattle almost rallied, I think, to beat who they play last night.
The A's.
Oh, what was the A's? Yeah. A's had them down
Nelson
like 7-0.
Nelson Cruz, who was their leading RBI guy, came up with the tying and winning runs on base and struck. Otherwise,
and they
that's a hell of
7-0 in that game, I think.
Yep.
And, so two red-hot teams right now, and, you know, it's a calm demeanor over there always.
That's what's amazing
with
to me.
A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch, that's his style. That's his background. He doesn't panic, you know, win or lose. He's not going to change that just because they're struggling at home. But behind the scenes, who knows what happens inside a clubhouse. But he believes in these guys, but he also is smart enough to know, man, we're missing some key stars here, but we've got to grind through this. Now more than ever, they need this pitching staff to get results.
Well, and here's the thing that I wrote an article for SportsMap about this on Monday. My big thing is we don't know what Altuve's deal is because this weekend – first, he was scheduled to play. Then it was scheduled to run the bases. Then that was, well, we'll see what happens. But we don't know what's happening. So as we both have talked about, you get all those guys back from injury, you should be just fine. But even just one, and you could be in a predicament. But even if you assume you get everybody back, the one thing that I wrote about was the fact that between now and the waiver wire deadline for trades, you're not getting another Justin Verlander, but you need to explore a veteran bat. An outfielder / DH, because if you look at it, you look at Gaddis, had a hot middle of the season, but now he's come
cold.
Back to the means, right? You look at
Mariznick, hit and miss.
And now he's hurt, and now they're saying he might not be back till September.
Yeah.
Then you start looking at other guys that were in their system. A year ago, Derek Fisher was untouchable because he was a five-tool player. Can't hit major league pitching on a consistent basis. White, Davis, similar things. Kyle Tucker may still be the franchise's future, but for now what he's showing is he's not ready for prime time.
No. And who's to say when Altuve does come back? And I had heard last week when they kept kind of delaying it, you know, I heard don't expect anything this homestand, hopefully on that road trip. But who's to, as good as Jose Altuve is, the guy's been out a little while. You know, who's to say first game back or first few games, he's got to find his swing. I don't think he's just going to come out and go 3-for-5. I mean,
Correa,
maybe he will.
Hitting the cover off of it when he does his little rehab assignment, but he's one for his first 12 when he comes back up to the big club because there's a huge difference between AAA pitching.
Timing, I mean, there's so many factors when you sit. That's kind of like pro golfers. If they don't swing a golf club, you know, you lose that touch and the timing of that swing. Same thing in baseball. This is getting interesting, though. Two-game lead in the AL West, and this is the first time as Astros fans in Houston, you get something to be a little nervous about.
And that's what I think. I just think it's too calm. I think that even from the players, and maybe it is, you're right, maybe it's A.J. Hinch, but when I look at it and I see the overall perspective and I hear everybody talking about it, it's not the what if they slip up and become a wild card team. It's just as long as they get healthy when they get into the playoffs and they have the home... These are things that you can't just assume are going to happen anymore.
Well, when you see that lead dwindling down, it's serious stuff here. But AJ, I love the way he's managed his baseball team since he arrived. He's got that psychology background from when he was at Stanford. And he's always harped on that. And he said, man, you can't get too high or too low during the course of a long baseball season. Fortunately, there are 30-something games above 500.
Right.
So they've got themselves in good shape there, but it's getting tight.
Yeah, big game to watch tonight. Verlander on the hill going for number 200 again. Last time out trying to do that didn't go so well. Hopefully he keeps the cycle from happening in the first inning and in the process can get himself over the hump and put him into some pretty elite company with his 200th career win. But Verlander on the hill tonight against the Rockies. All right, that's 1 hour in the books. 2 hours still to go, the big show. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two is right around the corner. It's Randy McAvoy. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5.